for the Lord, because it's all for him. But first of all, we're just going to start off with a little song called Amazing Grace. I'm sorry.
It's all right. There we go. You see, that's what God's grace does. That's what God's grace does.
I've given a lot of speeches over the years, you know. Used to doing it in a church because it's different, it's very personal. But I'm doing it in honor of the Lord. I was born in Ireland in a place called County Kildare. It's right out in the woods, you know, in the countryside. And we were very poor. We lived in a great big house, but it wasn't because we were rich. It was because the house was abandoned and we got it for nearly nothing. Rent, that is, about 50 pounds a week or something, you know. There was no electricity, no gas, no running water. We had a well. We had to walk walk a long way to the well to get water each day. But I used to walk to church. It was a long way to school, a long way to church. Well, I used to walk to school, and it was, I think it's about 4 or 5 miles. And on my way to school, the parish priest used to pick me up, and he said, good morning, Thomas. Are you going to Mass today? And I said, oh, yes, Father, I'm going to Mass. And I went, and actually, I loved it, because it was the one place I felt at peace. I was quite a loner, and but I loved going to church, because I used to feel the presence of God inside. It was a very large church. It was like a cathedral, really. And as soon as I went through that door, I used to feel safe. And but as I grew up, when I was 12 years old, I went to, my mum and dad emigrated to England, because there was no work for my dad in Ireland. And and I sort of started, when I was about 15, 16, I sort of did stop going to church. I sort of lost. Sort of lost my faith, you know, and I got involved in just messing about in the streets with kids. Nothing derogatory or anything, but I was, I just went away from the Lord. And there was times, even if somebody said to me about God, they would say, don't give me that rubbish, you know, there is no God. A few things happened through my life that was quite bad. I lost my younger brother when he was only 3 and a half. I watched him die. It sort of took me a long time to get over it. Anyway, in England, I left school at 15 with no education. Didn't even take exams because I was frightened of them, because I was frightened of teachers. In Ireland, you see, it was cruel, really, because the teacher used to, I get battered for getting the sum wrong or a spelling, literally. But so I didn't like school. And when it come to take the exams, I couldn't face it. So I left school without anything. But I eventually, since then, I went back to college and I got a few exams, English and maths and a few other things, law and stuff. But time went by. And I joined the police in 1987. And some years later, I met Pastor Kelly on the street. I was out in the big mobile police station, which is like a big heavy goods thing, and it was showing people around it and stuff like that as part of it. Well, there was a show there going on in Warrington. Pastor Kelly came up to me. I didn't know her from Adam, you know. And she said, "Oh, I was holding me back." And she said, "Have you got a bad back?" And I says, "I have." And she says, "Can I pray for you?" So I says, "Yes, of course." And I thought she meant maybe sometime later, like, but she did it right there and then. And I'm thinking, "What's going on?" And I'm thinking, I'm studying her in uniform, like, and I'm thinking everybody's just walking past and she's praying for me. But you know, it was wonderful, because I got to know Pastor Kelly very well. We found out that we're both into music, And it made it more interesting. And she used to come into. I had an inquiry officer in Warrington Town Centre, and she used to come in and bring me in cakes and pies. And I thought, oh, she's here again. And I thought, love these cakes, you know, like custard creams and you name it. And we got on really well. And she invited me down to church, Whitcliffe Church, that she used to attend at the time. And she had come down and practice music in the church. So I thought, well, that's an opportunity, you know. And I did, and we got on really well, and we got to know each other very well. And anyway, it was through Pastor Kelly that one day she said to me, do you want to give your life to the Lord? So I did. And praise God, yes, it's the best thing that's ever happened to me. And it's funny how since then, I always used to have a feeling of emptiness. But no more. I came to church with Irene a few times here during the course of all this going on. And I came and thought, that's nice. Nice here. But the first few times, it was just nice. And I sort of only came occasionally. But I felt drawn to come back, and she said to me one day, she said, come on to church with me. So I came back, and I sat in the third row over there. And whatever happened, I know now what it was. Of course, it was the Holy Spirit. But it was the most wonderful feeling, and I couldn't wait to come back to church again. And here I am a few years later. Praise God. Thank you.
Praise God. Isn't God good?
Yeah, all the time.
All the time, God is good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you have your Bible, I'd like you to join with me in a habit which I have developed and enjoyed and I'm pleased to do. And I'd like you to take your Bible in your hand and let's stand to do this because the Word of God is worthy of honor. Let's say together, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name. You may be seated. The subject that God has given me for this morning is how to keep your healing. How to keep your healing. Many times we have been taught about receiving the Word of God. I remember when Pastor Anthony was here, he said to us that maybe it wasn't heard too well and some misunderstood it, but what he did say was that if I taught you well, I wouldn't need to invite you out because you would believe what you heard. And I know he was a little misunderstood at that point. But I believe that is true. that we wouldn't need to invite people to come forward for healing if they would believe and receive the word of God. How does someone get healed? That isn't my subject, but I will just say that if you turn to the word of God, it will tell you the way that people get healed. Very briefly, some people are healed by a manifestation of the Spirit of God. Usually this is to people who are untaught or unbelievers, who when they see a manifestation of the Spirit of God moving, they will receive. But usually for a believer, it is that they should be healed by releasing your faith in the Word of God. I will repeat that. It's worthy of repeating. You should be healed by releasing your faith in the Word of God. I cannot say anything clearer or more important that if anyone needs healing, you should be healed by releasing your faith in the Word of God. And you see a kingpin there, that it all hangs on believing the Word of God. The Word of God has stood the test of time. The Bible tells us very clearly in 1 Peter 2 and 24 that talking about Jesus, it says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. The Bible doesn't say you will be healed. It is an act that has happened. Jesus has taken your sickness and my sickness in his body on the tree. The Bible also says that by his stripes we are healed. He was whipped. He was tortured. And our sickness was laid upon his body 2,000 years ago. Not you will be healed, but you were healed. And I would perhaps help you this morning to understand that if I say, ask you, how did you become a Christian? How did you become born again? Someone probably explained to you that Jesus Christ died upon the cross and took your sins in his body. He became sin that we might become the righteousness of God. You received the word of God. That is the authority that we stand upon. The unchangeable word of God. And we know that we are born again because the Bible says so. Because Jesus took our sins in his body. You became a Christian not by something you felt, not by something that you could necessarily see. You became a Christian by putting faith in the Word of God. My friend, you are healed by putting faith in the Word of God in exactly the same way. You see, a large problem, and I speak here from experience, not from a great education, not from a lot of qualifications, but from great experience, that when you come to receive the healing power of God, quite often there will be either a monkey sitting on your shoulder or a voice whispering in your ear saying, it's not real. You can't feel it. You can't see it. You can't touch it. Because the devil always relies on your five senses. It's not by senses. It's by faith. God has done many things for me. Many of you know that I shouldn't be here this morning. I apologize for being here today. I'm not supposed to be here. My father and mother took me home from hospital some 68 years ago when the doctors and nurses said we can do nothing more for this child. Take him home to die. There is no other future for him other than to die and soon. But I had parents who, whilst they obeyed the physicians, they took me home and they said, this is not God's plan. The Bible says that by his stripes he is healed. And I'm not going into all the detail of the prayer meetings there were, of how my father and mother, my mother, who was a Methodist local preacher for 50 years, she came to a point in her life where she was reading about Abraham and Isaac. And she said, Lord, if you want me to put David on the altar as Abraham did with Isaac, then I give you permission. And that was the very day that my life turned. She believed God's word, but she was willing to leave it with God. God is a good God. God has a good plan for your future. John 10:10 says that the enemy came, the devil, Satan came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, not death. That you might have life in abundance to the full till it overflows. John 10:10. It is a past experience. You must get hold of that. Jesus Christ has taken. And when the enemy throws something at me and tries to overcome my health, I remind him that I'm healed, not will be. Irrespective of my feelings, I am healed. This week, the devil has been throwing cluster headaches at me. And every day, I have recited to the enemy, my end is good. Because God has a good plan for my life. And enemy, I know your end. If you want me to remind you of it, I will do. But it's in a lake of fire. I know, I don't go by feeling, that it is a past act. Secondly, it's a permanent act. What Jesus has done, he has done. And God does all things well. God doesn't half do things. We might only have half faith for half a cure. That's up to us. But God does all things well. And I wouldn't have anyone tell me anything other than the fact that God does all things well. When Jesus said on the cross, it is finished, I'll tell you what he meant. He meant it is finished. It's not partly done. It is finished. The work of salvation. Salvation comes from the word soteria in Greek. Soteria means wholeness, completeness, perfect health. Perfect health. If you're not there now, reach out for it. It's a permanent act. Matthew, writing his gospel, he wrote that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses." The Greek for that word sicknesses is disease, infirmity, and sickness. Sorry, I'm falling apart. That's Matthew 8, verse 17. Jesus healed that it might be fulfilled what was spoken. Turn with me, please, to that passage, and we'll just have a quick look. Isaiah 53 was the prophet that he was referring to. Matthew, in his gospel, was quoting from Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. Please don't ever feel embarrassed to look at the contents or the index to your Bible. There's nothing to be ashamed of. If you don't know all the names of the books of the Bible off by heart, that's one of the best things I did as a child, that I learned the books of the Bible so that I could say Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, etc., right through, and the last one is the book of Revelation. And that helps me find my place in the Bible. It's a good thing to do. But if you don't know the books off by heart, feel free to use the contents at the front to help you find a place. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 4 says, "Surely he has," notice, "has," not will do, "borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was," not will be, "he was," a past act, "bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed." Can I just briefly say that in verse 4 it says, "Surely he hath borne." That means to lift up in the Hebrew, to bear away, to convey, or to remove. He hath borne. It is the same word used later in verse 11. "For he shall bear their iniquities." To lift up, to bear away, to convey. He took their iniquities. He took our griefs, it's been translated in my Bible. When I look up the Hebrew for the word griefs, it is disease, grief, and sickness. He has borne, carried away my disease, grief, and sickness. He has carried. The word bear, a heavy burden. He shall bear their iniquities. He has carried our sorrows, anguish, and pain is the Hebrew, that we might be free. Friends, this morning, we don't need to bear what Jesus has already borne for us. Is there any point? Many times I have recited to myself out loud, because words are creative, that if Jesus bore it, then I say, "Thank you, Jesus, I'm not taking it. I refuse to have it because Jesus took it. It's his. He took it for me." And sometimes people receive the Word of God. They receive a change in their body or in their life. But they don't always keep it. And this is the point that God laid on my heart several days ago. How to keep your healing. It isn't difficult to say, believe the word. Believe the word. Because the devil will throw things at you. I guarantee the devil will throw things at you. He will try to tell you that nothing has happened. But it did. 2,000 years ago it happened. We might not have been there. That's why we have to walk by faith. The Bible tells us the just shall live by faith. We live by faith, not by what we see. We live by faith. Just let me read to you Isaiah 53 from the Amplified version. Just listen to the Amplified. It says, surely he has borne our griefs, which is our sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses, and carried our sorrows and pains or punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God as if with leprosy. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. And with his stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. I think you need a moment to digest that. That's the word of God. Sickness came into the world through Satan. I feel I need to take you to a verse in Ezekiel 10. Ezekiel 28, that's better. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, just before Daniel. Ezekiel chapter 28. And at verse 15, here Ezekiel is describing Lucifer, a cherubim, one of the select angels of God. Okay? He's describing a cherubim, an angel of God. In Ezekiel 28, verse 15, he says, you, meaning Lucifer, were perfect in your ways from the day you were created until iniquity was found in you. You were perfect in all your ways from the day you were created until iniquity was found in you. That was the fallen angel that we now call Satan or the devil. Lucifer said, I will exalt myself above the Most High. He sought to become God. And Lucifer fell to a terrible end. And there is a place, as most of you know, prepared for the devil and his angels. The Bible tells us so. It is a lake that burns with fire and brimstone. It is a place of unutterable darkness. Friends, I hesitate to describe that place. It's so awful. And it'll be all those who are followers of Jesus Christ will have their place, the Bible says, in the place that burneth with fire and brimstone. Anyway, back to my subject. It was Satan who brought sickness upon man. And in the Garden of Eden, most of us are well aware that Satan came along, the serpent, and he said, "Will God really?" He tempted. He put doubt. You see where doubt came from? And when you've been healed, and when you've received healing, the serpent will come along and try to put doubt in your mind. Just like he did with Eve. This is where sickness comes from. Those who doubt whether Jesus has done it. This is where the unbeliever comes from. Those who doubt whether God has paid the price for their sin. Doubt and unbelief have no place in the born again. The word that God, I believe, clearly gave me, I don't often say this, the word that I believe that God clearly gave me 4 days ago for this morning is, are you listening? When doubt turns to unbelief, you don't lose your healing, you choose sickness by default. I'll say that again for those who take notes. When doubt turns to unbelief, you didn't lose your healing, you chose sickness by default. Unbelief and doubt have no place in a man and woman of God. God's word is reliable. We have to know that we know that we know that there is no place for doubt and unbelief. Turn with me, please, to James chapter 1. Just after the book of Hebrews, James chapter 1. And at verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he would receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. That's not David Brewer. That's the Bible. Let him ask in faith with no doubting. People who don't see a healthy life are those who allow doubt to come in because of feelings or because of what they see. If I had a large growth on the back of my hand, and I, by faith, receive the fact that Jesus took all my sickness, the fact as to whether it is still there or not does not alter the fact that Jesus took my sickness. It's important to get hold of this, because sight will so often overrule us, what we see or what we feel. Some of you know, and if you do, then just look intelligent, as if you had never heard me say before, for the sake of those who don't know, that some 30 years ago, I used to have a milk round, and I used to run up and down paths with milk bottles, put them on the doorsteps. I came home every day with wet feet. And I believe that having wet feet every day for 2 years was the reason why I started getting achy knees. And I had so much rheumatism in my knees that I couldn't sit down in front of the television for 20 minutes without getting up and having to walk round and round the settee. And I had a lot of pain. I couldn't sit. And one day I went to James chapter 5 and I asked the elders of the church, I said, please will you anoint me with oil that I might receive the prayer of faith to heal the sick. And they anointed me with oil. And I received the prayer of faith. And I felt worse. Yes, you heard me right. I felt worse. And I said, well, the Bible says that by his stripes I am healed. So I am healed. Now, I don't know what this pain is about in my knees, because I'm healed. And I've just received it by faith. That was on a Sunday evening. On Monday morning, I woke up and I had more pain than I had on Sunday. And I said to that little monkey sitting on my shoulder, whispering in my ear, I said, you can throw what you like at me. I believe that I was healed yesterday when I received by faith. On Tuesday morning, I woke up, got out of bed, and I was worse than Monday. I turned to the devil and said out loud, you can throw at me what you like. I believe the Bible is true, that Jesus took my sicknesses, and by his stripes I am, not will be, I am healed. And I went on with my day. Wednesday, I woke up with such joy, got out of bed, and I was worse, more pain than Tuesday. Now, by this time, I was about to bring tears with the pain in my knees. I deliberately, out loud, said to the devil, you can throw at me what you like. On Sunday, by faith, I received healing, and therefore I am healed. What God does, he does well. And I went on with my day. Sufficient to say that on Thursday morning, I got up. I had no pain in my body. My knees worked perfectly, and they have done for 30 years since, and I have never once had a pain. You see, I had to fight the fight of faith. If you allow doubt to turn into unbelief, you choose sickness by default. Please get hold of that. It's not by feeling, it's by faith. The just shall live by faith. Faith in what God has said in his word. Faith in what Jesus has done. My testimony about the Word of God, I started to write down for you, to read to you this morning, and I came across something which explains exactly what I wanted to say. But I acknowledge that it was the words of Samuel Chadwick, one of the founders of Cliff College, Methodist Training College. And many, many years ago, Samuel Chadwick said this: "No book like the Bible. I have worked at the Bible, prayed over the Bible, lived by the Bible for more than 60 years. And I tell you, there is no book like the Bible." I can identify with that. "It is a miracle of literature, a perennial spring of wisdom, a wonder book of surprises, a revelation of mystery, an infallible guide of conduct, and an unspeakable source of comfort." This is the Bible I'm talking about. "Give no heed to people that discredit it, for they speak without knowledge. It is the Word of God in the inspired speech of humanity. Read it for yourself. Read it through. Study it according to its own directions. Live by its principles. Believe its message and follow its precepts. No man is uneducated who knows the Bible, and no man is wise who is ignorant of its teaching." Friends, you may have heard it said before: you can believe and receive, or doubt and go without. I tell you, God's word is sound. It is a rock that I have stood upon for over 60 years, and it has never once let me down. Feelings let me down. I even venture to say that other Christians have let me down. But God's word will never, ever fail. Believe and receive, or doubt and go without. What did God say to me on Tuesday? "When doubt turns to unbelief, you didn't lose your healing. You chose sickness by default." I'm going to ask you this morning, if today would be the day when you will choose to say that doubt is never going to be part of my life again. I will never, ever doubt God's word. It is the rock that has stood for ages. It is living, active, pulsating energy. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:12 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." I call you this morning. Will you stand on the Word? Will you cause doubt and unbelief to be a thing of the past? Irrespective of the five senses, it is a permanent act, and it is a past act. It is finished. Jesus took it. There's no point us having it if Jesus has taken it. Shall we pray together? Father, we realize this morning that sometimes in the perils of life, many things are thrown at us to test the strength and the depth of our faith. But this morning, we come and we say, Father, forgive me for my unbelief. Today, I choose to believe and receive according to your word. And I will give you all of the glory. In Jesus' name. Go in peace, and the God of peace go with you.